Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, God bless you. This is Evangelist Amos coming to you live from Manna Teaching Ministries. Praise the Lord. I am so happy to be back before you again. I was in prayer before the broadcast tonight. And, you know, I just thank God because I realize that I have been in a spiritual battle trying to get back on the broadcast. I have been fighting. It has been a literal fight to really get back on here. I've been gone for about 3 weeks, and I thank God for my faithful listeners. And I know God is going to bless the ministry because I am being obedient to Him. Amen. But I give God the glory. I don't give the devil any glory. Amen. I give God the glory because God is the one that has kept me and has brought me, given me a mind to come back on the air. And I thank God for that. Amen. Hallelujah. I give Him praise and I honor Him. You know, saints, I don't know where we would be without the Holy Ghost because it's the Holy Spirit that strengthens us and blesses us, amen, and to fight the good fight of faith. Jesus said, I go to prepare a place for you, that where I am, you will be also. But He said, but when I leave, He said, I must leave because I have to send the Holy Ghost back. He knew that we were going to be fighting end time demons, amen. And because of the fight and the magnitude of the fight against our faith in the last days, we have to have a helper. We have to have a comforter. We have to have the Holy Spirit within to lead us and guide us and to strengthen us. The Bible says when we pray in the Spirit, we are strengthening our inner man. These are not words just to sound good, but this is the truth. When we pray in the Spirit, we are strengthening our inner man. And I thank God for the Holy Ghost because He brings renewal, He brings regeneration to our spiritual man at the time when we are in a battle, amen. When you can't call on nobody else, you can always call on Jesus. And He said, men are always to pray and not to faint. So even when we get weak, amen, we still have to fight the good fight of faith and pray and build up ourselves in the most holy faith. Amen. So I thank God, amen, for encouraging us tonight, amen, and giving me a word, amen, to preach on this broadcast tonight. Tonight we're going to be coming to you out of Luke chapter 18. That's one of our first scriptures. And, you know, I just love the book of Luke. And God has been dealing with me about faith. When the Son of Man returns in Matthew 25, He said, shall He find any faith on the earth? The devil is after our faith. Amen. When you look at the television, you look at the movies that's coming out, you look at the things that's happening in the world, you can see there is an all-out attack on the faith of the Christian that believes in Jesus Christ. Amen. So there is an attack on our faith. He wants us to walk in the flesh. He wants us to rely on our flesh. He wants us to put our confidence in our flesh, because when we put our confidence in the flesh, then we don't have to rely on God. We don't have to have faith in God. Amen. And that's what we're going to be preaching on tonight. So, amen. We're going to turn, amen, over to Luke chapter 18. Well, we're going to go to Luke chapter 10 first. So if you turn to Luke chapter 10, the Bible says, after these things, the Lord appointed other 70 also and sent them two and two. So He sent the disciples out two by two. He had 70 disciples. And He said He appointed them, sent them out two by two before His face into every city and place, wherever He Himself would come. So before Jesus entered into a place, He sent two of His disciples to that place before He went to kind of like prepare the way. And the Bible says in verse 2, therefore said He unto them, the harvest, and this is one of my main scriptures that I'm preaching on tonight, the harvest truly is great, but the laborers are few. Saints, this is still even more prevalent today, the harvest of souls, and that's what we're talking about, a harvest of souls. The harvest, Jesus said, is great, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest, who is Jesus Christ, pray ye the Lord of the harvest that He will send forth laborers into His harvest. Amen. And there's another scripture that talks about the harvest, and it's talking about the angels, the reapers, and the Lord. Amen. Being the Lord of the harvest. But this scripture is talking about to pray the Lord of the harvest that He will send forth laborers. We need more laborers in the vineyard. We don't need more people talking about money. We don't need more people talking about riches. We don't need more people talking about really what the church has turned into, a lot of churches have turned into motivational speaking seminars every Sunday. When we go to church, we're being motivated, we're being encouraged, we're being told you can do it, you know, God wants you to succeed, and, you know, we're just using God as a stepping stone to try to find success in this life. And that's not the purpose that Jesus Christ died for. He did not die so that we could enjoy the riches on this earth. That's not the purpose of Jesus dying. I don't care what a preacher tells you. Yes, God wants you to be blessed. Don't get me wrong. But at the same time, you cannot put the cart before the horse. You can't get your priorities out of order. Jesus Christ died for the souls of men and women. Eternity. That you can spend eternity with him rather than going to hell. That is the reason why Jesus Christ died. That is why he went to hell and took the keys of death, hell, and the grave from the devil. And the Bible says the wages of sin is death. He died to give us eternal life, because the wages of sin is death. Jesus Christ died so we could have a heavenly home, so our soul would have a resting place and peace, and we could spend eternity with him. All this other stuff on earth, that's a given. God said it's his will to give us the kingdom. But that's not what we should seek after. That's not something that we should be preaching from the pulpit. That's not something that we should be talking about more than we are concerned about souls. Amen. So the Bible says, the harvest truly is great, but the laborers are few. Pray ye the Lord of the harvest, and he will send forth laborers into his harvest. Verse 3, go ye your ways. Behold, I send you forth as lambs among wolves. The wolves, amen, are the leaders in the church that are preaching these false doctrines. The Bible says, except the Lord shorten the days, that they would deceive the very elect of God. I have been deceived in the past. There are a lot of Christians that are being deceived by these wolves in sheep clothing. And the Bible says they are very cunning. They come to you as angels of light. They come to you as preachers and men and women of God. And, you know, we get caught up in this. We don't want to judge. But the Bible says you can tell a tree by the fruit that it bears. Another scripture says, it wasn't Jesus, but Paul said, if anybody come unto you, he said, by the Spirit of God, if anybody come unto you preaching any other gospel, don't even bid them Godspeed. We are so afraid to tell people, if you don't believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, then we cannot fellowship with you. Why is the church now coming to fellowship with other people that don't believe that Jesus Christ is the bread of life? Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God. Amen. Saints, we have got to preach this word. I don't care how. I know God is preparing a people that's not going to be afraid to preach. Because my generation, I just think my generation, for the most part, has gone apart. You don't see it preached a lot. I know the church is going to have to go underground, but I believe in God that there's a generation that's coming, and maybe my children and maybe my grandchildren, but there's a generation that's coming that's going to be on fire and preaching only about the truth of Jesus Christ. I don't know if it's going to be through persecution that this is going to come out. I don't know what's going to happen in the world to bring this out, but the church tends to thrive in persecution like it did in the New Testament, when New Testament church first started. And you know, we are so blessed now because we have a lot of things in the natural, and I think that's we have put our guards down. We laid down our, you know, our desire to really preach this gospel. People, when you start talking about sin, and you don't hear a lot of people preaching about sin on Sundays anymore. You don't hear a lot of people asking you to come up to the altar to repent for your sins. You know, joining the church is good, but where is your eternal soul going to spend eternity at? That's what God is concerned about, and that's what I'm going to preach. I don't care if people are listening. I'm trying to please God. I know somebody is listening. It's helping somebody. Because I'm pleasing God, God is backing me up. When I pray for people, when I seek God, when I seek to be a blessing to people, God always backs me up because I'm seeking to please him. I'm seeking to do his will. Amen. So it doesn't matter to me what man thinks. I know there are people that's going to support me, and there are people that's going to say, right on, sister, amen. But if I don't get to hear that, it's not going to stop me from preaching. That's the point I'm trying to make, because I'm seeking to please him. Amen. But the Bible says in Luke chapter 10, Jesus said here, go your ways, I send you forth as lambs among wolves. So we talked about that being the church leadership. Carry neither purse nor scrip nor shoes, and salute no man by the way. And into whatever house you enter, first say, peace be to this house. I'm going to skip down to verse 9 because the Bible says, he said, into whatsoever city you enter, receive you such things as are set before you eat. Verse 9, and heal the sick that are therein. Talking about when these disciples went to these different cities, Jesus told them to heal the sick. So he gave them power. He gave us power. Because remember, when he was going up on high, the Bible says he gave gifts unto men. And Jesus Christ said in Matthew, the last chapter of Matthew, he said, I send you forth. Amen. He said, you shall tread on serpents and scorpions. And if you eat anything daily, it's not going to hurt you. He said, I give you power upon above all the powers of the enemy. Amen. So we have the power, amen, as a Christian, as a believer, if we believe God, if we seek God, and if some people are gifted with the healing ministry, we talked about gifts before, but even if you don't have that gift, you can pray and God will use you to bring healing to somebody. God will use you to raise the dead. God will use you to bring deliverance to somebody whose soul is bound. Amen. And this is what should be taking place in the church on Sunday. Amen. The Bible says, heal the sick that are therein, and say unto them, the kingdom of God is come nigh unto you. So evidently, when you heal somebody in the name of Jesus, the kingdom of God is come near unto you. Through the healing of the natural body, the kingdom of God has come near. But he said, into whatsoever city ye enter, and they receive you not, go your ways out into the street and say, even the very dust of your city that cleaveth unto us, we do wipe off against you. So this is where we get the saying, shake the dust, wipe the dust off your feet. Notwithstanding, be sure of this, that the kingdom of God has come nigh unto you. So whether they receive you or not, the Bible, Jesus said, you let them know that the kingdom of God has come unto you. Verse 12, but I say unto you that it shall be more tolerable in that day, talking about the day of judgment, for Sodom than for that city that rejects him. Amen. He said, woe unto thee, Chorazin, woe unto thee, Bethsaida. For if the mighty works, talking about the healing miracles and the mighty works of God, had been done in Tyre and Sidon, which have been done in you, they had a great while ago repented. There we go again. Jesus is looking for repentance. Even after the works, even after the healings, even after the mighty works, Jesus said they would have repented. So the goal of a miracle, the goal of a healing is to bring repentance in that person's life, to be touched by God to a point where they know that God is real and they come and repent. Amen. The Bible says that they would have repented a long while ago, sitting in sackcloth and ashes. He said in verse 14, we're still in Luke chapter 10, it shall be more tolerable for Tyre and Sidon at the judgment than for you. Verse 15, and thou Capernaum, which are exalted to heaven, shall be thrust down to hell. Now there we go again, talking about hell. People don't talk about hell no more. And he that heareth you, but I preach hell, amen, because it's real. He that heareth you, heareth me. He that despiseth you, despiseth me. And he that despiseth me, despiseth he that sent me. So this is what keeps me going, verse 16. A lot of people are not going to hear what I'm saying because they didn't hear what Jesus said. He said, he that heareth you, heareth me. He that despiseth you. So when people hate me and despise on me, I know they hated Jesus. He said, he that despiseth you, despiseth me. And he that despiseth me, talking about Jesus, despiseth him that sent me, talking about the Father. Amen. So the 70 returned in verse 17 again with joy, saying, even the devils are subject unto us through thy name. This is when you know who you are in Christ. This is when you know by whose authority you have been given. But you remember when the somebody asked Jesus, whose authority do you do this in? And Jesus said, if you tell me about John the Baptist, was his baptism from men or of God? He said this to trick them because they knew if they said it was from God, that they would say, why didn't you follow him? But if they said from men, they were scared of the people because everybody knew that John was a prophet. So Jesus asked them a question because he didn't have to answer them. So he used wisdom. Amen. And they said, tell us by what authority you do these things. Here's the same thing here. The 70 came back and they said, the devils are subject unto us. That means we are above them. They are subject. They have to submit to us through your name. Amen. So that's authority. That's that exousia. That's that word exousia, which means authority. And it's like a police officer. He has authority. He doesn't have to be the strongest person. He doesn't have to be the dunamis. He doesn't have to have the strength, amen, to overcome you. But his authority will bring you into line because he has been given authority, amen, by the court system and by the law to handcuff you if you break the law, to take you in. You have to submit. Amen. If you don't submit to him because of his physical strength, you have to submit to him because of the authority that he has been given. It's the same way with a Christian. We have authority in the spiritual realm over the demons. Amen. We have been given authority. Amen. By the Father. Amen. So he says, the 70 came back and said, the devils are subject unto us through thy name. And Jesus said unto them, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. He said, behold, I give you power. Amen. There was that word power again, talking about the authority. If you look it up, I click on that scripture in my interlinear Bible, and I go down to the word power. Now, this particular scripture talks about the power, that word dunamis, that's 1411 in the Strong's Concordance. That is the word that means power. He said, I give unto you power over the enemy, all the power of the enemy, over all the power of the enemy. But if you go back up, that first word, he said, I give unto you power, that was exousia. So I'm getting ahead of myself. Let's start again. In 10 and 19, Jesus said, I give unto you power. That first word, power, and this is really the only verse in the Bible that I've seen the word exousia and the word dunamis in the same verse. He said, I give unto you power, exousia, authority, amen, to tread on serpents. That means to walk on serpents and scorpions and over all the dunamis power of the enemy. So I'm giving you authority to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the dunamis power of the enemy. Do you see the difference there? I give you authority over the power of the enemy. And he said, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Amen. So that was verse 19. He said, notwithstanding, and this rejoice not, that the spirits are subject unto you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. See, saints, we got it all backwards. Even when because the devils are subject unto us through his name, he said, this is not to rejoice over. He said, but rejoice because your names are written in heaven. This is what we should be teaching on Sunday. We should be getting people saved. We should be bringing people to repentance. We should be using the gifts. We should be healing people, bringing them to repentance. We should be meeting people's needs. Amen. We should be raising the dead. We should be, it's just so many miracles that we should be operating in on Sunday because we've been given power over all the power, authority over all the power of the enemy. He said, but rejoice, not in this, but rejoice because your names are written in heaven. This is another thing that we have got to start preaching more on. We need to start preaching more on the book of Jesus Christ, that our name should be written in that book. A lot of people don't even know that there is a Lamb's Book of Life that is in heaven that has everybody's name in it that is saved, that belongs to God. And the Bible says, pray that your name don't be blotted out. A lot of people believe once saved, always saved. But if it's once saved, always saved, then why did Jesus say, pray that your name be not blotted out? So because your name, once your name is in that book, that's not forever. You can sin, the Bible says in Ezekiel, and die in your sin, and all of your righteousness is not going to be remembered. That's another scripture that backs up that you cannot just believe once saved, always saved. Yes, God loves. God is married to the backslider. Yes, God will continue to deal with you. Yes, God will pull on you and tug on you. And the Bible says the Holy Spirit will lead you, amen, and draw you back to God. But you have a choice. You always have a choice. If you backslide, and I know I'm talking to some backsliders, amen, if you backslide, you have to repent. If you've never known Jesus, you have to repent. If you are over the age of accountability, and I'm not going to say what that age is because it's different for everybody depending on your mental state, amen, and what you're able to receive. But once you come to the knowledge of the truth, the Bible said if you turn back away from the truth, you're going to be held accountable. Amen. So the Bible says, we're back in Luke chapter 10, verse 20. Jesus said, don't rejoice in the fact that the spirits are subject to you, but rejoice because your names are written in heaven. That's why I'm rejoicing tonight. I know my name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. I have a relationship with God. I'm walking hand in hand with Him. I may not have everything that I need in the natural. I may not live in a mansion. I may not drive the finest car. Amen. I may not be able to shop at the best stores. I may not have all of these different credit cards or money stacked up in the bank where I can go out and go shopping whenever I get ready. But you know what? My name is written in heaven. That means more to me than anything you can offer me on this earth because you can't take it with you. All this stuff, that these clothes, you're going to have to leave it to somebody else, and we're going to get to that scripture in a minute. But the Bible says, in that hour rejoiced Jesus in spirit and said, I thank thee, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that thou hast hid these things from the wise and the prudent and has revealed them unto babes. Even so, Father, for so it seemed good unto you. Okay, so let's keep on going, amen. The scripture that I was talking about earlier, I always like to give you the scripture when I mention it, about neither tell I by what authority I tell you by what authority I do this. That's in Luke chapter 20, verse 18. Amen. So that's the same word as exousia. Jesus said, neither tell I you by what authority or exousia, power from a higher authority. That's what that means. Do I do these things? So you first have to know God. I'm reading from my notes now. You first have to know who God is in order to understand and respect His power and authority. In Genesis 1 and 26, God said, let us make man in our image. And God said, let us make man in our image after our likeness, and let them, talking about every man, have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowls of the air and over the cattle and over all the earth and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. John 1 and 3. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. Talking about the lordship of Jesus. John 1 and 10 through 12. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, gave he power. To them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. As many as received him, to them gave he power. This is that word exousia again, authority. As many as received him, to them gave he power or authority to become the sons of God. That means you become, when you become a son of God, you are placed in the heavenly realms high above. The Bible says, Paul says, we are seated in heavenly places high above all principalities and power. That means that as many as received him, to them gave he power or authority to become the sons of God. And as a son of God, it comes with rights and privileges. Amen. God said, I give you permission. Or that's another word for exousia, authority, but it also means permission. Remember the swine, when they asked, the demons asked Jesus, they said, don't cast us back into the pit, but cast us into the pigs. Amen. And Jesus gave them permission. They had to get permission from Jesus to go into the pigs. Amen. So right here, the Bible says, God said, I give you permission, or I give you authority, I give you permission, exousia, to tread on serpents and scorpions. That's that same word in Luke 10 and 19, permission. Verse 2. Before power comes prayer. What to pray for? In verse 2, we talked about this, that he was sent forth laborers into his harvest or his vineyard, which means souls. God is interested in a harvest of souls. That's what we should be interested in, a harvest of souls. Are we harvesting souls for the kingdom of God? I have 5 minutes left. Praise God. Are we harvesting souls for the kingdom of God? Satan seems to be more concerned about souls than the average Christian is, and I hate to say that, but it's the truth. He's only concerned about souls. We are not as soul conscious. We are not concerned about souls like we should be in the church. The Bible, let me say this. This is in my notes. He knows how important it is to protect our soul. Something we take for granted is eternity. The devil tried to get us to focus not on eternity but on this life. But we're going to read a scripture that talks about a man that only looked at this life. Amen. So let's turn over to Luke chapter 12, verse 20. God called this man a fool. And I know God said don't call anybody a fool too quickly. But I want to read this to you because in verse 13 it talks about the man who God called a fool. Amen. And the Bible says, one of the company, in verse 13, this is Luke chapter 12, one of the company said unto him, Master, speak to my brother that he divide the inheritance with me. This is talking about money again. And he said unto him, Man, who made me a judge or a divider over you? And he said unto them, Take heed and beware of covetousness. That demon of covetousness has crept into the church. That greed, amen, and desire for things, amen, has crept into the church unaware. Amen. But the Bible says, Jesus said, beware of covetousness. That's why he said, I send you forth as sheep in the midst of wolves. Because he knew that one of the things that the enemy was going to use was covetousness in the last days, or greed, or a desire for things. He said, for a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things that he possesseth. And he spake a parable unto them, saying, and this is Luke chapter 12, verse 16. The ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, What shall I do, because I have no room where to bestow my fruits? And he said, This will I do. I will pull down my barns and build greater, and there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. Verse 19. And I will say to my soul, there you go again, that word soul, was something that we need to be preaching on more. I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. That means when you experience the blessings of God, the emotions and all of that, the good emotions, peace, love, joy, happiness, all of the fruits of the Spirit, all of that takes place in the soulish realm, as well as anger, hatred, envy, lust, all of that takes place in the soulish realm. Those things bind up your soul. But this man, he was talking to his soul about enjoying the blessings. He says, Soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. Verse 20, in chapter 12, verse 20. But God said unto him, Thou fool. God called this man a fool, and we're going to see why. He said, This night thy soul shall be required of thee. So look what God is telling this man that thought he was going to be able to enjoy his riches and enjoy the goods that he had collected. God said, This night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then who shall these things be which thou hast provided? Things, houses, lands, clothes, money in the bank, traveling, boats, airplanes, everything. He said, Who shall these things be which thou hast provided? Because this night I'm requiring your soul. So God called him a fool because the Bible says in the next verse, it explains it even better in verse 21. The Bible says, So is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. This is a very powerful scripture, saints, because the Bible is telling us that we have to lay up treasure in heaven. Jesus said, Don't let your treasure be on earth where thieves and breakthrough and steal and moth corrupts. He said, But let your treasure be on high. Amen. Because the treasure in heaven is your relationship with God, is your ability to please God, is your willingness to be in the will of God, amen, and to please him in everything that you say and do. That's laying up treasure in heaven, amen, because the good things that you do for others, like my pastor was talking the other day, and he was talking about how he wants to be a blessing. And, I mean, I heard people preach about money, but when my pastor preached about money, he preached about it because he's preaching about it because he wants to be a blessing to the kingdom. He wants to be a blessing to the people of God. Amen. So when we preach about money, we have to preach about it from a biblical perspective. Amen. And the money can be used to build up the kingdom, to build up the people, to pass along the blessing, not to hoard it for yourself. Amen. But to pass it on. Money is a resource, he said, not a source. Amen. So a resource is something that you use to be a blessing. But the Bible says, So is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. And he said unto his disciples, therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what you shall eat, or of your body, what you shall put on. That is faith. When you don't take no thought for your life, what you're going to eat, what you're going to put on, your clothes, that's living by faith. The just shall live by faith, the Bible says. The life, Jesus said, is more than meat, and the body is more than raiment. Amen. So we're getting ready to cut off here. I thank God for you listening in. I want to finish this message another night. We'll probably be back in a couple of days, maybe even tomorrow, as the Lord will lead me. I'm just being led by God. I'm not going to say any particular days. Watch my Facebook to see when we're going to be back on the air again. It's probably going to be quicker than you know, because I'm just being led by God. Amen. But I'm going to post this on Facebook. You can look me up, Brenda Amos, on Facebook. It has my picture there, and that you can become a friend with me, and you can catch my posts on there. But God bless you. I love you with the love of the Lord. Good night. I'm signing off with Manna Teacher Ministry. I love you. Good night.